Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Packers fans, welcome to the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, here from Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. But as soon as we get through Thanksgiving, it might be a time of downtrodden here in Green Bay again, because they have to head to Philadelphia to take on the 9-1 Philadelphia Eagles.
Are you saying the Packers are the turkey this year?
There's something. They're going to be gobbling. They might be stuffed is what it might be, because they are essentially in a single game elimination playoff from here on out through the rest of the season. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers talked today on Wednesday about, you know, comparing it to 2016 and how they played Philadelphia that year as well. But as he said a couple of times, that was a 5-5 Philadelphia team. This is a much different Philadelphia team. Ryan, I'm going to start with you. Of course, we understand sort of the significance, but like, explain the significance a little, I guess, is what I'm saying here.
It's simple. It's math. If they win out, they run the table, and the parallels to 2016, they had six games left. The first game and run the table was at Philadelphia on a Sunday night or Monday night. Was that Sunday night or Monday night, Spoon?
It was a night.
It was a night game.
It might have been Monday night.
But it was a primetime game in Philadelphia. That was the first step. Mathematically, if they run the table in these final six games and go from 4-7 to 10-7, you would think that they are in. So they have to win every game. That's what you think of their odds of that happening. It's very unlikely. But it starts with one. If they're 9-8, look, there was, I think, six teams last year in the NFL that were 9-8, or nine wins, excuse me. Only two of them got in. One of them, the Steelers, were 9-7-1. So the Packers, the math is really not kind at 9-8. If they lose one of these games, 10-7, it's doable.
Okay, Spoon, single game elimination now. How soon do we see them out of playoff contention?
Yeah, well, so according to 538, data analysis, analytics site, right now they got about a 4% chance of making the playoffs.
Really?
If they lose, it's higher than that. I'm sorry, it's like 11. If they lose to the Eagles, it's 2%. If they beat the Eagles, it goes up. If they beat the Eagles and then beat the Bears, it goes up to like 25%. And then if they beat the Rams, it goes up to 31%. So even if they win three in a row, they're like 1-3 shot of making the playoffs. So bottom line, yeah, they lose, they're done. They're toast, it's over, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and it's not like it's going to get any easier. I mean, we talked about the Eagles being 9-1. Not only – you have teams that are flashes in the pan. You have teams that start off strong and taper off. I mean, I think about like the Cardinals last year. You know, starting off, 7-0 before losing to Green Bay, and after that sort of just sneaking into the playoffs, tapering off. You have teams like that every year, teams that cause the 73 Dolphins to pop their champagne earlier than later. 72, that was a test you passed. Does this feel like that Eagles team to you, or does this Eagles team feel like they're a legit contender that can go all the way. I mean, they're strong on offense with a running quarterback that can efficiently run that offense. And, I mean, arguably one of the best secondaries in the league. I mean, is that hyperbole?
Well, the thing about them is, despite their success, they've continued to build. I mean, they acquired Robert Quinn, added a pass rusher. Then last week they added Linville Joseph, a run stuffer, and then Ndamukong Suh, a run stuffer. So they've addressed the areas that were wanting on their team. And that once those guys all get really comfortable, you know, they've kind of attacked the possible slump thing that teams go through. I mean, they had a bad game against Washington. They were due a bad game. Everybody was due a bad game.
Right.
They had another game against the Colts, but they won. Mm-hmm. You know, they figured out a way to win, which is what good teams do. So, I mean, they have a lot of things about them that are not good for the Packers.
Well, I feel like the Eagles are contenders in this NFC because this NFC has no true bona fide real contenders. And when you have no real contenders, everyone's a contender. I mean, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Giants can make a run. Not because the Giants are great. They just lost to the Lions. But this is how the NFC landscape is. So, yeah, the Eagles are contenders because there's no juggernaut. The Packers the last two seasons would have walked through this NFC. It's not a good conference.
They did, kind of. Let's break down a little bit about what makes the Eagles so strong in particularly. As we said, secondary, and then you address their issues. I mean, they brought in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the Saints and put him back there, arguably one of the best safety nickels in the league. Darius Slay, who started off his season as a turnover machine. It's hard to keep that sort of average up for anyone, but still is can affect the ball so well. And then you look at the Packers, you've seen Christian Watson come on the last two games, but Aaron Rodgers not throwing the ball extremely well. He was accurate versus Dallas, but that was about it. I think I just did the math. Since he hurt his thumb in week 6 versus the Giants, he's had an average of a 95 quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm. I had 91. He was 95 before.
Before Titans?
Yeah, no, he was 95 before in the first five games. He was 91 since.
Oh, well, I must have done my math
wrong. His completion percentage has dropped since then 5 points from 67 to 62. And his yards per game, touchdowns per game, and interceptions per game basically identical.
Yeah, around 222 yards per game?
231 yards per game.
We did some different
first
math.
Five and 230 since.
Yeah, I had 229. Point is, not normal Aaron Rodgers numbers. And you're now going against a secondary that is can just attack. So, I mean, of course, the obvious answer is to lean on the run game, but then you're going against a defensive line that, as we said, includes Ndamukong Suh, Fletcher Cox. I mean, these are huge run-stuffing guys. So where can you find a break in this Philadelphia defense that you can sort of attack?
Well, it's not impossible to run against them. Jonathan Taylor had a pretty nice first half. And then, you know, they're going to play a lot of five-man front. They like to play the run. Mm-hmm. Then you have to hurt them passing the ball. You got to figure out a way to get the ball to your running backs, throw the ball to your running backs, get them out on the perimeter, try to make them pay for devoting that much attention to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Rodgers, basically he has to make the throws that he hasn't been making, you know, that he needed to make against Tennessee. They could have beaten Tennessee if he had hit a couple of the throws that he needed to make. They may not be able to run the ball. Maybe Philadelphia takes the run game away. Well, then they're going to have to pass. And they got to figure out a way to get their guys open.
I mean,
this is a big test for Matt LaFleur.
It's the same recipe as every week for them, right? They got to run the ball and get enough in their passing game.
Well, you know what struck me, and I thought about this a lot after the Tennessee game. Tennessee was beating them up front at, on the line of scrimmage in the run game. So they needed to figure out, they needed to throw the ball. They needed, this was one of those games, they want to run the ball, but every once in a while, you got to throw the ball. You got to attack the other team's weakness. And the other team's weakness was its secondary and coverage. And they couldn't do it. They didn't do it. You know, they wasted a lot of time, you know, running right into the teeth of the defense. And they, it was a game where maybe they just needed to throw it. Because you got to get ahead of Derrick Henry. You know, you got to get in the lead, and they just didn't do it.
Is there something to be said? That I don't think they can win throwing the ball. I don't think they're built that way. I just don't think they can. If they, this is an offense to me that if they do, and I'm with you, they were getting beat up front and 12 for 40 for Aaron Jones. I mean, they couldn't run the ball, but this is an offense. If they can't run the ball, they're not winning throwing the ball.
Well, if you're playing against a team that everybody throws the ball against, then maybe that's what you got to do. Yeah.
Well, and they did throw it 39 times, but I don't think that they're built to have success through the air. They don't have all the pieces there for that to be a successful formula. I mean, we've seen them run the ball and you know, like they did against Dallas, have enough plays built off the play action pass game to hit some shots and support the run game. But as far as the Eagles defense goes, they're second in the league against the pass. They're 19th against the run. This is a defense that they should be able to run the ball against.
It would have to be easier than it was against Tennessee, who was the number one run defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a little bit to both of your points, versus Tennessee, it felt like you actually did see the receivers getting open. You saw them in space, and Rodgers' accuracy was the issue. And, you know, he was pushed today on, was it the broken thumb? And he said, you know, sometimes it, no, it wasn't. And someone pushed him on particularly the throw to Alan Lazard late in the game. And they said, was that just a crummy throw? And Rodgers said, yes, that was just a crummy throw. And so some of that, do you, Spoon, you're making a face.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You think it is the thumb and he's not wanting to admit it?
He's just, you know, he's in what I would call, he's in denial, a competitor's denial, which is I can play through anything, I'm hurt, but I'm not going to use it as an excuse, and I can do whatever I want. Well, he can't do whatever he wants.
But we saw him do it versus Dallas.
At times, yes. At times, he can do
it. Was that just the fuel of beating Mike McCarthy?
But they ran for 208 yards, too. Yeah. You know, everything was going right for them in the second half. And so I don't – the thumb is an issue, and they have to acknowledge that. And I don't know if there's anything they can do about it. I really don't.
When I looked at the numbers, I'm curious to get your opinion on this, too, because when I looked at the numbers, it's there's no way that you can say there's zero effect that the thumb has had. I mean, his completion percentage went from 67 to 62. It's dipped 5 points. That's significant. But the numbers also, to me, they're not night and day different. I mean, it's not like this just complete free fall since the broken thumb. So I don't see much difference, more than zero. It's more than zero, but not a night and day difference when it comes to what he's done and how he's produced before broken thumb, after broken thumb.
I mean, I can point to probably a dozen throws that he makes in his sleep that he didn't make in games. He talks about the Dallas game. Well, what about the Detroit game when he missed Samari Toure going deep? He missed God, there were so many in that game.
Yeah.
He missed Toure again when he was wide open. He missed Lazard on a ball. He threw a bad ball to Tanyan. In Washington, he missed a bunch of balls to guys. I mean, they were off. They're either behind them, they're low. How many balls have you seen where he throws to the sideline and it's not even close? Like the... Actually, the third down to Tanyan on the very first play, very first series of the game, they got a chance to get a first down, and he just sails it like 5 yards wide of him. It's, come on, I mean, there's enough to for anybody who's watched Aaron Rodgers for the last 15 years to know that something's wrong.
What's the similarity or the common thread between that Tanyan play and a lot of these misses? The alarming thing to me, so a lot of them are short,
mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see him miss short.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. You know, the deep balls, he's missed those, but quarterbacks miss deep balls. That happens. The short stuff, there's been a lot of short misses.
Yeah. And at times he does look like himself. He's thrown some beautiful balls. You know, Aaron Rodgers' signature balls, but it's not consistent.
And feels like every touchdown to Christian Watson has been that the past two games.
It seems like it. Yeah. But I don't know how you call a game that says, I'm going to only call throws that he's going to throw beautifully. Uh-huh. I don't know if there's a formula for that.
I think I caught this. I think he said that his thumb hurt more against Dallas than it did Tennessee. It hurt more against Dallas, which...
Well, he did get hit on the thumb, right?
Yeah.
And he played really well against Dallas. I mean,
yeah, he did.
Maybe the key is just for him to play with it hurting.
Or maybe it's to have guys wide open because Aaron Jones is just killing your run defense.
Yeah,
I like my theory better. Let's flip to the other side of this. This defense is tasked with Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, Brown. I mean, a pretty decent weapon or a pretty decent stable of receivers there, weapons there. And then, one of the best running quarterbacks in the league as well. So, I mean... Let's just start with the simple question. What's the best tactic in attacking the Philadelphia Eagles offense?
Well, I think it's like any mobile quarterback. You got to make Jalen Hurts one-dimensional. He's very much been, with all the weapons around him, he's very much been the engine that makes that offense go, like most quarterbacks. And the duplicity in his game, the fact that he can break you down like a running back and also hit throws, you got to make him one-dimensional. I mean, I think they keep him in the pocket. Not saying it's a duplication to make Mitch play quarterback because he's a lot better than Mitch Trubisky, but keep him in the pocket and try to get some pressure on him and rattle him as a passer, which is going to be tough to do without Rashawn Gary. It was a big glaring omission from this defense against Ryan Tannehill last week. That's the formula. I don't know if they can do it, but that's the formula.
And then you've still got, when he does have to be forced to throw Spoon, you've still got some of the fastest receivers that this secondary can face. I mean.
Yeah. I don't want to say forced to throw. Jalen Hurts is a throwing quarterback.
Right.
He wants to throw the ball. He doesn't want to scramble. He doesn't want to be doing option. You know, you watch
the. He just has the ability.
He has the ability, yeah. If you watch the Colts game, he would get free of the pocket. He's looking to throw. Mm-hmm. He really wants to throw. Justin Fields, for example, wants to run.
Yeah.
But Jalen Hurts, to me, is a guy who really wants to be a quarterback,
right?
You know, and not be known as a running quarterback. And he can throw. He can. Yeah. He's got a good arm. But you got to find a way to pressure him. You have to send some guys at him. And, you know, you have to – Philly's got a really good offensive line, one of the best. And so – I don't know how you do it.
To your point, Spoon, Jalen Hurts had 16 rushes for 86 yards last week against the Colts, had a touchdown. It was a good running game for him. But the several weeks going into that game, I mean, a week earlier against Washington, the loss, he had 6 carries, 28 yards. A week before that against Houston, 9 carries, 23 yards. A week before that against Pittsburgh, 2 carries, 10 yards. A week before that, 9 carries, 27. You know, he can run. He's shown that. He showed that last week, but he really pulled back quite a bit as a runner. So, yeah, I mean, you can't let him kill you. You can't let him have almost 100 yards rushing. If you do that, you're dead.
Yeah, I watched that Indy game pretty closely, and he had a couple of quarterback sneaks. He had a bunch of scrambles. I think they had maybe 4 called runs, you know, where he did read option kind of stuff. The rest was scrambles or quarterback sneaks or whatever it was. If I had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I would throw the ball a lot. But I will say one thing that's been a weakness is they've been without Dallas Goedert, and that guy is his safety valve. And I'm not sure what his status is this week.
He's on IR.
Oh, they put him on IR?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's on my fantasy football IR. Let me check that real quick.
It's
I might have crossed fantasy and reality.
It's very possible he is. I just knew that he was out and he's got an, you know, somewhat serious injury. Right. So that's a big break for the Packers not having to face him.
Yeah,
because he's dangerous, yeah.
That's where they're getting shredded. It's just, you know, like over the middle, those sneaking those tight ends around.
Well, you cover those two wide receivers and you think you're good, and then he's just
he is on IR. I had fantasy and reality linked. That's good to know. It's good to know for my sanity.
I'm just going to sneak one little comment in here just to get Packers fans' hopes up for no reason at all.
Why would you do that? That's so mean. That's criminally mean of you.
Just a mean person. I don't think that while Matt LaFleur is the head coach, he would hire someone else to come in and be the OC, like fully take on that role. But someone needs to go into Philadelphia and snatch up Brian Johnson and make him an OC before someone else does. And he's a huge credit to Jalen Hurts' maturation in the past 2 years. And if Jordan Love's going to be your quarterback in the future here in the next year or two, you want someone like Brian Johnson in your quarterback room and as your play caller. But that's just my opinion.
Matt LaFleur would say
he's not going to be your play caller.
I'm a quarterback guru and I'm a play caller, so that's not happening here.
Yeah. You can put it on the business card, but you got to show it. I'm just kidding. He has shown it 3 years before now.
Yeah, he resurrected Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. He's going to be a really, really good coach in this league for a long time. So
he could wind up being a head coach next.
Yep. Yeah, he could. He could make that jump. Guys, I know that we're not going to keep people long this week. It's holidays. Go spend time with your family. So don't give me a score, but just give me your predict. That'll be in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Press Gazette. But give me your prediction, your outlook for what's going to happen in Philadelphia.
I'll take the Eagles by 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You have abandoned ship there. It is done. Give it up the ghost. I'm with you. I don't know about how many touchdowns, but Rasul Douglas told me today, lose this game, might as well start thinking about where you're going to go this offseason for your trips, because it's math. And I don't see them winning this. The reality for this Packers team, even the Lions, there's no team in the league that they can go in and feel like, yeah, this is a game we should win. And when it's the best record in the league, prime time on the road. It's not going to be pretty.
If they play their best football and they lose by a field goal, then they got something to keep playing for. Maybe they can finish strong. If they go in there and they look like the team that got, you know, lost to Detroit and lost to Tennessee, bam, I go with Jordan Love, which they'll never do. But I start playing all the rookies. I start looking towards next year if I'm them.
I make one point about that. I think if they lose this week, no matter how it goes, I do think Aaron Rodgers gets next week against the Bears. It's who knows what happens with Aaron Rodgers after the season. Might be his last year. Might not. We don't know. But it might be. I think that he deserves that start against Chicago. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's a legacy game. Why not? Why not give him that start? Give him the start against Chicago. Then you got a bye week after that. You got an extra week to prepare Jordan Love. You got a terrible Rams team on Monday night after that. Just seems like a natural fit. If they lose, give Rodgers the Chicago week and then rest that broken thumb.
If with that theory in mind, though, why not start him against the Rams for one last time at home?
Because and it's the Rams, and at some point, giving Jordan Love an extra bye week to prepare for his showcase in prime time against a terrible team makes a lot of sense, but it's Rams at home is not Rodgers versus the Bears. I mean, there's been a long career of Rodgers versus the Bears. Obviously, a year ago in Chicago, screaming at the fans that he owns the team. I think that just my opinion, but I think that that's a game that he's earned, a start that he's earned.
I don't think that starting Jordan Love eliminates Aaron Rodgers from coming back next year.
No.
I think you could start him this week, next week, put him on IR, let his thumb heal, just say that's what you want to do. Then Jordan Love goes out and craps the bed, and they're back having Aaron Rodgers next year.
In some ways, if they played Jordan Love, that almost makes it more likely that Rodgers would be back next year. I mean, the selling point is rest your thumb. This season's going nowhere. You'll be back next year. We need to build trade value because Jordan Love won't be. And this is an opportunity to get a pick that's going to help the team.
Yeah, unless Jordan Love leads really them to good. Six victories, you know, or five victories.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
And then, you know, you trade him.
After one of the games, I think when I brought up, like, Jordan Love, y'all's point was you'd essentially be benching Rodgers, and then he's never going to come back. But this is not benching. This is putting him on IR and letting him heal.
Yeah.
Or that's how
he's never going to allow it. I mean, if I were Brian Gutekunst, and he had put me through all of the stuff he did in 2021, yeah. you know, with holding out and trashing me. And then I gave him the biggest contract, you know, in the history of football. And he came back and didn't play that well. I'll celebrate him when he comes back and has his name up on the facade. But his job is to win games, and he's got to figure out next year whether Jordan Love is his quarterback. Yeah. So
especially when you're going to probably have a top 10 pick.
Yeah. I'm saying all that. They're not going to do it. They are not going to do it.
Even when they're mathematically eliminated.
Maybe when they're mathematically eliminated, but they don't have the guts to do it.
Yeah. Well, whatever happens starting in Philly this weekend, we will be there to cover it for you all. It is Sunday night football, so drink your coffee on Sunday. Stay up late with us. We'll have full coverage for you from Philadelphia. Spoon, you'll have your live blog going?
Yes. Yep.
Before and during the game, Ryan and I will be there.
May have a special guest at halftime. I'm not going to say who, but
Can I take a guess?
No. It's a surprise.
Does he drop a pick and save?
It's a surprise. No. That's not the guess.
Okay.
that's what everyone's guess was.
Depending on how the game goes on Sunday night, I mean, Ryan and I may just start tweeting about, you know, our different sightseeing things in Philly that we're going to see on Saturday.
Independence Hall.
Yeah. I want to see the Liberty Bell.
Have you seen it before?
I've seen it from the outside, and I didn't go inside the building. Cool. So, yeah, as you can see, what we're focused on for this weekend against the 9-1 Philadelphia Eagles. As I said, we'll be there to cover it for you all on PackersNews.com. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Everyone listening, watching, have a happy Thanksgiving. This has been the Green 19 Podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.
Green 19!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.